We're joined now on the Sport Clips MVP hotline by Andrew Feinstein of DenverStiffs.com. Lots of NBA news today, and we thought we'd let Andrew weigh in on most all of it. Good afternoon, Andrew. How you doing?
Hey, Sandy. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for accommodating me time-wise. Oh, absolutely. My pleasure, and we're eager to hear your thoughts. First on the breaking news involving the Nuggets, that Rudy Fernandez has apparently decided to go back to Spain. He has a new three-year contract, and he will not be back in Denver next year. I don't think that's a shocking development by any means, but what's your reaction to it?
It's not surprising at all. I think Rudy was kind of the odd man out.
Yep.
You know, he had at moments was an exhilarating player to watch, at other moments very frustrating. And he's an exciting player, but especially with Evan Fournier being drafted here, that was really the writing on the wall to me that Rudy was no longer going to be with us.
Let's go back to last Thursday night. What was your initial gut reaction when you heard the name Evan Fournier?
My initial reaction was Masai Ujiri is punting. I felt like he basically was drafting a kid that I know he thinks has huge upside, but didn't want to really deal with this year.
Right.
The problem is that Fournier might call his bluff and insist on playing here this year. So the Nuggets might be in scramble mode to find a roster spot.
Right.
But with Rudy Fernandez not coming back, that makes things a little easier.
Yes. Do the Nuggets still have the same problem, and I know it sounds crazy to say this, and we get texts and calls all the time when we say they have too many good players. What on earth?
Right.
You can never have enough good players. But is there still a traffic jam of sorts, in your opinion, at certain positions, even with the news about Fernandez today?
Oh, of course. I mean, look at the swing positions.
Yeah.
You've got a let me take one quick step back. George Karl complicates it a little bit by playing Andre Miller at the two so much.
Yes.
So if you look at the swing positions, which is two and three, you have a real traffic jam. You've got Andre Miller, Aaron Aflalo, Corey Brewer, Jordan Hamilton, Wilson Chandler, and now Fournier. Yeah. And it's just I feel like I'm probably forgetting someone. You know, it's just I know that they're really deep at those two spots, and at some point someone's going to be the odd man out here.
What do you think is the effect of Miller's re-signing and how they plan to use him? Plays about 27.5 minutes a game this year, was very good, even for people who had been critical of him and the way he had been used and thought he had played too much during the regular season. There could have been no complaints coming out of the Los Angeles seven-game series in the first round. What do you imagine starting next year? Not so much what his role will be, but the minutes. Do you see it being reduced by 4 or 5 minutes a game?
They need to be at
yeah,
some point.
I agree. I mean,
Andre Miller's amazing. He is a warrior. I mean, the guy separated his shoulder. A lot of players would be out for a month. He played the next night with a strap on his shoulder.
No.
So the guy is amazing. You've got to give him credit for that. And I was happy to see Andre somewhat vindicated, I think, in the playoffs.
Yes.
I know a lot of fans get frustrated. You know, the temperature reading on Miller at Denver Stiffs isn't so much that the fans don't like Miller. I think the fans feel like George maybe overplays Miller a little bit. But I saw George at the workouts that we were invited to just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And George did tell me and the other guys present that he does intend on playing Julian Stone more this year. So that might be an indicator that Miller's minutes will be reduced by 4 or 5.
We've talked about Ty Lawson before, and we both find him to be fascinating. I think you're a little more skeptical about his long-range prospects for greatness than I am. It seems, and we had our friend Chris Dempsey on yesterday, that this is the next development, virtually a foregone conclusion that there'll be a JaVale McGee announcement here shortly, but within the next month, we'll hear announced terms on an extension for Ty Lawson. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm coming around slowly. You know, when I first saw Lawson, when he was brought into the NBA and just seeing the way he played, I thought we have the best backup point guard in the NBA on our roster. And now I think we're looking at a guy who's definitely a starting point guard, but I don't think he's ever going to be a top 10 starting point guard. But saying that, I mean, the Nuggets kind of go as Lawson goes. And when he has those, you know, 20-point games and he's really aggressive and he's dishing out a lot of assists, the Nuggets win games. And it's hard to dismiss that. And I think that one thing I was really happy to see and hear from the Nuggets coaching staff, Ty has been here every day this summer working out, and he's really trying to improve his game. He's really trying to take it to the next level. You know, he was a kid when he got here, and I think he is growing up before our eyes, and I think it, you know, it behooves the Nuggets to let him run the show next year, and let's see how he does. This is the year. I mean, he's either going to be an all-star caliber point guard this year, or he's never going to be an all-star caliber point guard, and I think this is the year that we're going to see it, because at some point, you are what you are in the NBA, you know, 4 or 5 years in. And it'll be interesting to see how Ty Lawson develops this season.
Did the NBA final series and the way it came out make you feel better about the Nuggets or worse about the Nuggets?
I hate to be the pessimist here. Yeah. It kind of made me feel worse, and we did talk about this during the playoffs. It wasn't just the finals. It was the Final Four.
Yeah.
And if you look at the teams that were in the Final Four, they had Hall of Famers on them, multiple Hall of Famers on them. And in the NBA, when you're playing a game with, you know, 200-plus possessions, you got five guys on the floor, and the best players control one-fifth of the equation at all times, you know, you're so dependent on a superstar to win, and history has shown us that. And LeBron James was ultimately going to get his ring, and he got it this year. And the Nuggets, unfortunately, are not. I don't think they're in a position to get a superstar. I don't think that there's no package available for a superstar. You know, and this whole Dwight Howard saga to me is almost a sad commentary on the state of the NBA, because, you know, in another sport, if you have a disgruntled superstar, the Nuggets should actually be a team that could make a play for Howard. But they can't, because he doesn't want to be here.
Right.
And to me, that kind of summarizes why it's going to be so difficult for the Nuggets to get a superstar.
He is not a superstar, but he's an interesting player. What did you make of Jason Terry moving out of the West and away from Dallas and signing with Boston? Which had said publicly that their next priority after they wrapped up the deal with Garnett this weekend was to bring Ray Allen back, and they announced today that they've got Jason Terry.
Well, it's really interesting. Is he Ray Allen insurance? Is that what he is?
Yeah,
or is
it
Ray
appears
Allen
that way. Both, maybe. I can't imagine that they would be as aggressive. Allen has other suitors, and maybe now if Allen went to Miami, let's say, and Boston didn't sign anyone to replace him, any veteran to replace him, I think they would feel like they were losing ground. I think now, whether he stays or goes even to a place like Miami, I think they feel they have in Terry somebody who's a little bit younger, has a bit more left.
Well, Ray Allen's been one of my favorite players for a long time.
Sure.
It looked to me like his legs were giving out this year. And
yeah,
he did not seem to be as reliable of a three-point shooter,
right,
as his reputation.
Although I guess his numbers, he was streakier this year. I guess his overall numbers, at least during the regular season on three-point shooting, were about as good as they've ever been. But, yes, that's the key term. Less.
But watching it, did you get the sense, Sandy, like just watching him in the playoffs, like when he was even just wide open threes?
Yep.
He just didn't have that confidence, and I would be hesitant to overpay. You know, if you're going to overpay an older guy, you do it with a guy like Garnett, who's a post player. It's got to make you really squeamish to overpay a swing player who's in his mid to late 30s. And I just don't think the Celtics should overpay for him, but it would be nice to see the big three back. I mean, they think that they actually, had they been a little healthier, with
they thought they were the team that could have taken out Miami. I mean, and they were the team in the best position to do it. They were the only team that got ahead of Miami, the 3-2, and was in a position to eliminate them. So I agree with what they're doing. It makes all the sense in the world to me. This whole Dwight Howard thing, I know you just mentioned him a moment ago. All the reports now say the Nets are back in business for him, that it's all setting up, but Atlanta could still be involved, and out west, a couple of teams have been mentioned, the Lakers, obviously, and Houston as well. Whatever you think of Dwight Howard, this is a big balance of power issue, depending on where he signs.
Yeah, right. Regardless if he's a superstar or just a perennial all-star, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he is an impactful player. He has been to an NBA Finals. Granted, he did it out of the Eastern Conference. I'd like to see him get there in the Western Conference. It's intriguing. You know, the Lakers have Bynum to offer. The Hawks have Al Horford to offer.
Yes.
The Nets have Brook Lopez to offer, and if you're the Magic, I think I want Andrew Bynum. But I would be very concerned about Andrew Bynum. I mean, he's got a bad attitude, And that's in L.A. with a ostensibly stable organization and a legend like Kobe Bryant on his team. I cringe to think what Andrew Bynum might be like in Orlando, where he's the man. So Orlando's, look, they're in the same position that Masai Ujiri and Josh Kroenke were in here just a couple years ago with Carmelo Anthony. And when your superstar is handpicking where he wants to go, you have to just hope that there's a good deal available. But the Nets, there's a reason why the Nets didn't win any games last year. They don't have a lot to offer.
Absolutely. We'll let you run on this, but overall, as we make our way through this offseason and looking ahead to next year, Oklahoma City, even in losing in the finals, is still quite apparently the class act. I love the pick they made with Perry Jones, and I think that sets the Nuggets back a little bit in relation to Oklahoma City. That's another athlete. I don't know that he's going to have a terribly long career, but he might be fairly effective here for a few years. How do you view the Nuggets standing, finishing the year sixth in the West, going down to the Lakers in a seven-game series as the third seed, going into next year now, how they stack up in the West, presumably behind Oklahoma City, but where in relation to everybody else?
Well, I think the Clippers are going to be second in line next year.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I think that bringing Lamar Odom back was an astute play. I think that the Clippers are all of a sudden going to become a hot place to go, and they'll pick up another free agent here or there.
All right.
And I like Chris Paul and Blake Griffin getting a full training camp under their belt, a full season under their belt. So I do see the Clippers vaulting up maybe as high as number two. I still think the Grizzlies are ahead of the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are, you know, you're looking at, can we compete for a four seed? I think that this Nuggets team was built for the regular season. And in theory, the Nuggets should be able to, you know, barnstorm the regular season with their depth and maybe steal a four seed. But, you know, are the Spurs going to go away anytime soon? Are the Lakers going to go away anytime soon? And you know Dallas isn't going to rest on their laurels. So I'm looking at the Nuggets to be fighting for that 4-5 spot.
As opposed to 2 or 3?
I don't think they can get up to as high as 2 or 3. There's just too many good players on the other teams in the West ahead of them.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure. We thank you for your time on a slow summer day, but we know you're busy, and we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Sandy, anytime, and have a great 4th of July tomorrow.
Thank you. Have a safe one yourself. That's Andrew Feinstein joining us.